कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 9th कैंटो 24th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 57।
नहि यस्य जन्मनो हेतु कर्मणो वा महीपते आत्ममायां विनेशस्य परस्य दृष्टुरात्मनः। नहि यस्य जन्मनो हेतु कर्मणो वा महीपते आत्ममायामिनेशस्य परस्य दृष्टुरात्मनः। नहि यस्य जन्मनो हेतु कर्मणो वा महीपते आत्ममायां विनेशस्य परस्य दृष्टुरात्मनः।
Na,
not. He, indeed. Asya, of him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Janmanaha, of the appearance or taking birth. Yetuhu, there is any cause. Karmanaha, or for acting. Va, either. Magipathe, O King Maharaj Parikshit. Atma Mayam, is supreme compassion for the fallen souls. Vina, without. Ishashya, of the supreme controller. Parashya, of the personality of Godhead, who is beyond the material world. Drishtuhu, of the super soul, who witnesses everyone's activities. Atmanaha, of the super soul of everyone.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
O King, Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for His appearance, disappearance or activities. As the super soul, He knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects Him, not even the results of fruitive activities.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana daiva netrena jantu deho papatye. A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 1861, Yantra Rurani Mayaya. The body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya shadunam vinashaya shadushkrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people, who because of a poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna, are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as Asamaudva. According to the Vishwakosha dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Daiviye Yesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Dhratyaya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word Maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious.
Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tatati Shvapatantikam E Krishna Karuna Shindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushrute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Sindhupyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupatamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam.
Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here so that we can discuss something for our own purification and also for taking home some of these points and applying in our own lives. We can like discuss so many different things in this particular like verse. It is fully loaded. So, in the interest of time, we can just look at like two major points, and we can try to connect those. The first one is the cycle of karma. Here we can see how all the living entities like us, we don't have any choice in terms of what kind of body we are going to take. Everything is everything happens because of our own past karma. So because of the past karma, we get a particular type of body. Though we have the choice of deciding in some sense, by doing pious activities or impious activities, we can decide what kind of body we are going to be getting in the future, but we don't have any say that I want this particular kind of body. So the laws of karma are very, very intricate. They are so difficult to understand. But when you use a particular analogy, it becomes much easier to understand the laws of karma. It is more having different bank accounts. So let's say all of us have three different types of bank accounts. The first bank account is for all the pious things we did. The punya or the pious credits, they are put in one account. Then we have papa, or the sinful activities which we are doing, we have to suffer some reaction. So these are put in another kind of bank account. Then we have the devotional service. Any kind of devotional activity we render, the credit for that is put in the third account. The account with pious credits or the sinful credits, they will go up and down. For example, all of us, we have taken this particular human form, which is very, very difficult to attain. It is so difficult to attain the human form of life, but we attain that. How come? Because of our, like in the past, like pious credits. Assuming that, like, you know, like we were not like devotees and all those in the previous lifetimes, even anybody who is just pious, they will get either the human form of life or some higher like form of life. And as soon as we are going to be taking that particular form, then what we are doing, we are spending our credit. So now our bank balance is going to like go down. Like for example, like, you know, like if somebody has lot of like pious credits and they took birth in a very, very wealthy family, and once that pious credit is over, then they will be like suffering. So they might suffer within the same like lifetime or in other lifetimes. Sometimes we see that, and it is not that one has to go through or spend all the pious credits, then one has to spend all the like impious credits, like, you know, separately. Often it is going to be a mixture. That's why earlier I mentioned that the laws of karma are very intricate in nature. It is not just about us, like our own karma. It is about the karma of a particular family in which we are taken birth in. So if that particular family collective karma is there, like, you know, if they are to together suffer something, then though a particular person might have pious credits, still that person will be like suffering. But later on, they might enjoy. And also, like, you know, like as a nation or as a state, so there are like, you know, a lot of like collective karma. That's why often we see in some places of the world, there is like, you know, like famine or that and this and whatnot, lot of poverty. And in other parts, things are like, you know, like much like nicer. So we need to consider like our own karma and karma within the collective, like the individual, like family or society or nation in general. So as we spend these pious credits, then the bank balance is going to go down. And as we suffer the reactions of our past sinful activities, then also like our bank balance of impious credits are going to be going down. The in a very like mundane sense, often people are encouraged to be nice to others and, like, you know, be pious and do like, you know, nice things to others and so on and so forth. These are good, but still it is going to be keeping us within this particular material world. So that's why devotees are not interested in doing pious things, but rather they are interested in doing pious things for the pleasure of the Lord. Let's say if I am a very pious person and want to feed the hungry. If I am going to be like feeding the hungry without actually considering what is going to be the end result, I might be feeding somebody who is very demoniac in nature. This person doesn't have any energy because they were like starving. So they are like, you know, doing like very less harm, like, you know, harm to others. And if I am going to be feeding this person and they get so much of strength, now they are going to be like, you know, beating up somebody else, or we don't know what is going to like happen, right? So we might say that, oh, like, you know, feeding the hungry is the noble cause. Of course it is the noble cause, but we don't have any control over the end result. But if we are going to be feeding these people Krishna Prasad, then even though that person might like act in a demoniac nature, like, you know, right now, but eventually that person is going to become like, you know, a devotee. So that's why devotees are not interested in doing anything pious. It doesn't mean that devotees are like cold-hearted, like hard-hearted, and they don't want to do anything nice for others. But we always bring Krishna to the picture. So without keeping Lord Krishna at the center, whatever pious activities which we are doing is just useless. It is not just useless, it is even going to be detrimental. It is going to be detrimental for us, and it is going to be detrimental for the person who we are assisting. Often from the outside, it might not look like that. What is wrong? We can just go and feed the poor or that and this, and so many different things we can do. But if they are not going to be taking up to Krishna consciousness, they are going to be using their strength or wealth or money or education, all this for sense gratification. So when they are using all this for sense gratification, they are not assisting themselves. They are going to be going down to degrading to lower forms of lives. Even if somebody is going to be so pious, let's say a particular person is so pious, and because of their pious credits, they get a post of Lord Indra, the king of Yavan. So even if somebody is going to become Indra, after those pious credits are spent, one has to fall down. So they will come back again, and they have to go through this 8,400,000 species of life again and again and again and again, unless they get the causeless mercy of the devotees and the Lord, so that they can get the seed of bhakti that is going to help them get out of this particular material world. So when we look at the different Vedic scriptures, especially the Vedas, majority of the Vedas, they focus on keeping people within the material world, because most of the people, they are not interested in serving the Lord. They are interested in serving their own senses. So instead of them not, somebody mainly interested in sense gratification, the Vedas teaches these people that, okay, you want sense gratification, that is fine, but have restricted sense gratification. So these are the restrictions. If you want to eat meat, that is fine. You eat meat once a month on no moon day or whatever it is. There are lot of restrictions. If somebody wants to eat meat, they have to kill the animal themselves. They cannot go to a grocery store and purchase meat. But now everything has changed, because nobody is following any rules. The reason why the Vedas, they even advocate meat eating or other kind of sense gratification, is that they are so compassionate. They are very, very compassionate, because they want to bring each and every person to the next level, to the next level and next level, so that ultimately they can reach the Lord. So because here we can see Srila Prabhupada writes, the reason why the Lord appears is due to his compassion. And the Vedas, they emanated from the Lord, they are also so compassionate like the Lord, and they try to elevate the consciousness of a particular person. So that if they are engrossed in sense gratification, at least the Vedas tell them bring the Lord into picture, or even before the Lord, some kind of demigod. So if they want to have a lot of wealth, a particular demigod they can worship, and so on and so forth. So that's why Vedas are so vast. That is the reason why the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, he said that people often are attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. So if you look at, if you introspect, most of the people, especially in Kali Yuga, are don't want to say like most of the people, like almost like everybody is like very like lazy. And we try to find some shortcut or other. We don't want to like, you know, go through the entire process. We try to find some shortcut. So when we like, you know, have that kind of a mentality of like, you know, like finding like, you know, what is the shortcut so that I can get the result without actually like, you know, putting in the effort which is needed for achieving that particular result. So that's why like, you know, like Vedas have like all these. So we don't want to, when we become devotees, before we chant or like, you know, before we come in contact with the devotees, we are told like, you know, these are the four rules and regulations and these are all the do's and these are all don'ts. And like often, like, you know, devotees are like, I don't know what I am like, you know, getting myself into. It seems to be like very odd. And maybe somebody else might be saying, forget about everything. You just come once a week, come to the temple and like, you know, offer something to the Lord. He is within your heart. He is going to take care of everything. So which one we are going to be choosing? If we are intelligent, we will choose Lord Krishna. If we are not intelligent, if we have that crooked mentality of trying to find a shortcut, then we are going to be attracted by somebody else who is saying that you don't need to put in all this effort. You don't need to put in all this effort. Just come and do something. The Lord is going to take care of everything. So that is why like, you know, we need to be very, very like careful when we hear about like, you know, different messages, even within the Vedic scriptures. Because lot of them are just like, you know, they will elevate us, but it might take us millions and billions and zillions and trillions of like, you know, like lifetimes before we even get that seed of devotion. So often when we see something which is very easy, we know that it might be like, you know, really deceiving. So let's say like, you know, like I want to buy a diamond. I can go to the marketplace and somebody might say that, oh, I have a very good diamond, only $150. Come and purchase it. So if I am intelligent, I'll be like, I don't think it makes any sense that somebody is going to sell a piece of diamond for $150, because it is going to be like much more. Anyways, I don't know like how expensive diamond is. I am assuming that it is like much, much more expensive than $150. So we should not be getting distracted by some of these like, you know, like easier methods, like, you know, told like by others. But rather, we need to be willing to pay the price. What is that price? By accepting the like, you know, instructions of the Lord and his devotees. And that brings us to the next point, the compassion of the Lord. Because he understands our own incapabilities. He doesn't say that, like, you know, it is my way or thy way. He doesn't say that. Like, for example, like, you know, as the yugas progresses, the method for salvation also changes. In Satyayuga, people used to live for a very long period of time. So there they used to often stand in one leg and they used to meditate on the form of the Lord. So that is the method for like, you know, achieving the Lord, for like liberation. Right now, if the Lord is going to tell us you need to meditate, we might be just closing our eyes and then sitting here, and then we might be maybe smelling like prasadam, and we'll be thinking like, you know, anyways, now offering is not done, so maybe it is not a good example. Let's say like, you know, some boha offering is like already over, and we might be like, you know, getting the smell, and we'll be thinking, wow, I wonder like, you know, like what kind of like offering was like made to the deities. That's why like not everybody can like, you know, like go on the like altar and offer to the Lord, because if our consciousness is not proper, before we offering the boga to the Lord, we will offer it to ourselves. Wow, like it is very nice. Like, you know, like after the offering is over, I'm going to be storing like all these things for like myself because I like this particular preparation or something like that. So that's why the consciousness when we offer is like, you know, like very, very important. So even though like, you know, we might be closing our eyes and all those, we might be hearing some sound. Then we are like, you know, our mind goes there. We don't even need to see. Just by hearing the sound or smelling something, our mind gets so distracted. So this kind of method is not going to work like for us. And in the following age, the like, you know, elaborate fire sacrifices, they were done. When you say like fire sacrifices, even here, like, you know, for different ceremonies, we do conduct fire sacrifices. We are not talking about those kind of fire sacrifices. These fire sacrifices cannot be even done by kings. So only the kings of the kings, they can do those sacrifices, because one of the main, the important part of doing these sacrifices is to give in charity whatever somebody like, you know, asks. So you cannot say that, you know, by invitation only, like, you know, only these people can come and attend the fire sacrifice. It is not like that. Anybody who wants to attend, they can attend, and they can ask anything under the sun, and you are supposed to give it. So what happens if somebody like, you know, comes and asks for the entire kingdom? Then the king will not have like anything else to give to the next person. That's why even like, you know, a king will not be able to do those. Only like somebody who is the king of the kings, they used to do all these kind of sacrifices. So in essence, like, you know, like we cannot even like, we will not be eligible to do any of those. Probably like if somebody is going to ask us, give me like, you know, $5,000, probably we might say, okay, like, you know, fire sacrifice is over. So like, you know, they might not even ask something like, you know, like very high, but often like, you know, we are not even able to give something like, you know, very, very like small. In the following age, the elaborate deity worship, that is the method of like elevation. Here also we dress the deities so like, you know, wonderfully. We are offering Kishore Kishori like, you know, flowers which looks so nice, but unfortunately in Kali Yuga, all these flowers, they are like fake, like you know, all of us, we have like, you know, different kind of intention. Often though we might be putting on the dress of a devotee, and we might be like, you know, trying our best to follow devotional practices, but often we don't have the perfect intention. Though we want to serve the Lord, but often we are kind of like, you know, like we have one leg on one boat and another leg on another boat. We want to have like, you know, involved in all the sense gratification program, and in the like at the same time like, you know, trying to render some devotional service. So whenever we have this kind of like intentions which are not pure, then that is not going to like work. So same thing with like flowers. The main quality of the flower is not the external beauty. The flower is supposed to have the fragrance. But in Kali Yuga, most of the flowers, they look so nice, but when you smell, it will not have any smell. Or worst, lot of the flowers, they have bad smell. Like, you know, they are not really like, you know, nicely fragrant. Unfortunately, like, you know, we are offering like, you know, these to the deities. That's why whenever we like, you know, do aarti, we have to put some artificial scent so that it smells like, you know, nice. So the deity worship which we are talking about, we are not even supposed to offer these kind of flowers. The, like, you know, like flowers which smell nice, like what to speak of like, you know, the flowers which doesn't have any smell. we are supposed to offer flowers made up of gold. The deity worship is so elaborate. Even nowadays we can see that some of those devotees, especially in the Sri Sampradaya, so they focus on like in a lot of different aspects of deity worship. They start their worship so early in the morning, and by the time they finish their worship, it will be like, you know, like so many hours, several hours it will take to completely like, you know, like fully worship the Lord. Even that is the minimal standard. Like, you know, even the minimal standard will take so many like hours to complete. So even that is not going to be like practical in this age. So that's why the Lord like appeared so compassionately in this particular age as His holy name. And there is no difference between the Lord and His holy names. And the, like, this is because of the compassion of the Lord. So the Lord doesn't say that, okay, all of you are short-lived and you are not intelligent and so on and so forth. It is not my problem. It is your problem. You just suffer that. Like that he can say. But irrespective of wherever we are in our own situation, the Lord tries to bring us closer to Him. So when somebody is very intelligent, they have like very long lifespan, like those in Satyuga, he says, okay, like, you know, meditate on like, you know, my form. And when we don't, when we are not intelligent, when our lifespan is very short, then he doesn't say that, okay, now you need to meditate. That is the only way. He doesn't say that. Rather, he is appearing in the form of His holy name, so that still we can get out of this particular material world. So those who are intelligent, like we need to take to the chanting of the holy names like very seriously, and we need to understand the compassion of the Lord, how the Lord is always looking at what is best for us. Whatever He does, He is only looking at what is best for us. So if we are like keep on like, you know, like going down, but still like, you know, He doesn't abandon us. He is always like, you know, with us, like as Paramatma. It doesn't matter whether I am in the human form of life, or I am a dog or a cat or a like mouse or a pig or whatever it is. He is traveling with me. All the 8,400,000 species of I went through and all of us went through. He did not abandon us. He's like, oh, what is this? Like, you know, you are taking the form of a hog and you are just like, you know, in the filthy place. That is not like, you know, suchi. Like, you know, you are in such a moochi place. I'm going to be leaving you. He doesn't do that. He's always traveling with us wherever we are going. And He is always giving us whatever is the best for us. But a lot of times, because of our own conditioning, we don't see that. We don't see the things which the Lord is giving us. Especially if something is given to us so easily, we don't value that. Like, you know, we don't value that. If something comes so easily, like, you know, we are, because of the unlimited compassion of Srila Prabhupada, we got to, like, you know, sit in front of Kishore Kishori. Like, you know, we are sitting in front of their lordships and we are discussing about their pastimes in the association of devotees, and we are getting access to holy names. Even the greatest of the demigods, they don't have access to those. But because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have access to those. When we, that's all, again, like often we see that when we are so new in our own Krishna consciousness, we were very careful not to offend devotees. Our enthusiasm is so great, and if somebody said, like, you know, Prabhu, Mataji, like, you know, please clean this floor, then with so much enthusiasm, like, you know, like, we said, okay, like, you know, let me clean. Now if somebody tells, like, you know, please clean the floor, one might say, oh, like, you know, I have some other service. What is that service? I need to take care of my body, I need to go and sleep. Anyways, taking care of body is, like, very important. Without that, we cannot render proper service to the Lord. But lot of times, what we try to do is we try to move our focus. And by that particular mentality, like, you know, we commit offenses and so on and so forth. That's why it is, like, you know, like, very, very important for us to, like, you know, meditate, like, every day. Like, you know, whenever, like, every day, like, we sing, that, you know, we need to meditate on the glories of the spiritual master at least 3 times a day. At least 3 times a day. I don't know, like, how many of us are actually doing that. It is so nice for us to come in front of Srila Prabhupada and sing, like, you know, Yashastri Sandhyam. But are we really following that? So only, like, when we do those, like, when we think about what kind of sacrifices our own spiritual master is making, and what kind of sacrifices Srila Prabhupada made and our Guru Parampara made to give us all these gifts, which are not even accessible to great personalities. It is coming to us so easy. So when we don't, like, you know, carefully think about the value of these wonderful gifts which we had received, then we are just going to take it for granted. We are just going to be taking it for granted. And what is the downside of that? When we have that particular mentality, we are going to be committing offenses. When we chant, we will commit offenses. When we associate with devotees, we will commit offenses. When we worship the deities, we will commit offenses. So we need to be, like, you know, very carefully guarding ourselves against, like, you know, this getting this complacent mentality, taking everything for, like, you know, like, granted. So only, like, when we do that, we can, like, you know, we can do that only when we fully understand the compassionate nature of the Lord and compassionate nature of the devotees. When we understand the compassionate nature of the Lord and the devotees, then we will be very grateful. We will be, like, very grateful. So when we have that, like, grateful heart, then there is going to be simplicity in the heart. So when we have, like, you know, simple and grateful heart, all other qualities, like, you know, starting with humility and, like, you know, tolerance and so on, compassion and so on and so forth, all of them are going to, like, manifest. So the take home point is that, like, you know, let us meditate on the wonderful gifts which we had received by the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of, like, you know, Mahaprabhu, and mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our own spiritual masters. Let us meditate on the greatness of all these wonderful gifts which we had received, not just, like, you know, today, like, every day, at least 3 times a day. So that is going to, like, you know, protect us from sucked into being complacent. Otherwise, like, you know, like, we will take things for, like, granted. It is so nice to, like, you know, read different pastimes, and then, like, you know, we often, like, forget. That's why, though, like, I was planning to discuss about something totally different. I don't know, for I got inspired to, like, you know, say something, like, you know, very different, which is, like, you know, very, very, like, useful for, like, all of us. Like, you know, like, when we follow this, our advancement in Krishna consciousness is going to be, like, you know, like, fully, like, guaranteed. And there are, like, so many, like, additional, like, you know, things which we can discuss in this particular verse, but in the interest of time, we will like stop here and let's see whether there are any questions or comments, suggestions, corrections, chastisements.
Krishna. I was wondering, one of the first points you made about like getting the human form of life, and I was trying to think of like how it works, like if you go to a lower species of life, like how do you get back to the human form of life? It's like, my idea is like, depending on how like fallen your consciousness or degraded your consciousness goes, you get a lower form of life in like the animal kingdom or insects or even going down to like germs. So, then maybe after that you start evolving back to the human form of life. Is that proper understanding?
So the scriptures teaches us that, like, you know, it is the cycle of birth and death. So we are just going through that particular cycle of taking like birth in as like, you know, different forms, 8,400,000 like species. Thus one has to like, you know, go through like all this, yes and no, like, you know, that's why when we started the discussion, I made a point that the laws of karma, they are like, you know, like very intricate in nature. They are like so complex. It depends upon so many like different things. Like, for example, like, you know, we hear different pastimes by eating some of the Mahaprasadam, some of the like fish, they get like, you know, 400 form and they go to like Vaikuntha and so on and so forth. So one can get out of the material world even in the like animal or like lower species, but it is going to become very, very like difficult unless one is going to be getting the like mercy of the Lord or like, you know, the great devotees. It is not going to be like possible. But in the human form of life, so we can enquire into the absolute. So that's why the first Vedanta Sutra, it starts with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, therefore, enquire into the absolute. What does it mean? Like, you know, what does that now, therefore means? Now that we have completed or like, you know, went through all this 8,400,000 species of life again and again and again and again and again and again, we received this greatest like, you know, benediction of receiving a human form of life. Therefore, please inquire into the absolute. If you don't do that, what is going to happen? Then we are going to be degrading ourselves to lower like species of life. So it is like this. When we say there are like 8,400,000 species of life, we are not necessarily talking about 8,400,000 different bodily forms. So we are talking about the 8,400,000 levels of consciousness. But obviously, each of the consciousness is going to be related to a particular bodily future. So from that perspective, there are also like, you know, 8,400,000 like species, but we are talking about the levels of consciousness. And when the level of consciousness is not that advanced, the reactions are not going to be that great. So we can even see that nowadays, like, you know, if somebody is insane, if they commit a crime, their punishment is going to be very different than a person who is actually contemplating on how to commit the crime and they commit that particular crime. The jury or the judge is going to be evaluating all this before deciding on what is going to be the punishment. In the human form of life, our consciousness is very much evolved. So with the highly evolved consciousness comes the responsibility. So our responsibilities are also so great. So if we misuse those responsibilities, the reaction which we are going to be suffering is very great. So we are going to be suffering like so much. But in the like animal form of life, for example, a tiger is eating a deer or something like that. The tiger is not going to be incurring like in a karma, because it is inflicting harm on like an other like living entity. Because we get sinful reaction only if we are going to be digressing the laws of material nature. Only when we digress the laws of material nature, we are going to be like punished. Like, you know, last week we were having some discussion where we looked at this particular example. Killing a person is like punishable, right? If I am going to be going and killing somebody, the government is going to be capturing me and punishing me, putting me in prison or whatever it is, depending upon the severity of the crime. Even I might be like hanged to death or something like that. But the same crime, if I am going to be committing on behalf of the state, if I am in the army, the general asked me to kill the enemy soldiers and I killed, I am not going to be punished. Rather, I might be rewarded. I might get the Medal of Honor or whatever is the medal. But if I am going to be coming after participating in that particular war, and if I come home and have a fight with my neighbor and shoot the neighbor, then I am going to be put in the prison. So the main thing is that the laws of karma, they work very differently based on the level of like freedom we have or the level of responsibility we have. So at, in the lower species of life, the we are not going to be, there is not that much reaction as somebody is going to be degrading in much lower space, insect and so on and so forth. The reactions are that great. So whatever that particular lower species is taking part in, it doesn't get that much of reaction. It doesn't mean that no reaction, but the reaction is going to be very less. So the punishment is just going through that cycle. Now we are going to be, it is more like a punishment, taking lower and lower and lower forms. Then the consciousness is going to be evolving. So it is the evolution of consciousness. It is not the evolution of the body, scientists often claim that there was single cell, from that multiple cell thing came amoeba and that and this and whatnot. It is not that kind of consciousness. Vedic scriptures teaches us about the evolution of consciousness. So at the lower consciousness, there is going to be lot more suffering, or in essence we don't have that much of power to discriminate and so on and so forth. And as we come to higher species, especially the human form of life, we can discriminate. So in essence, we often go through this 8,400,000 species of life. Does it mean that one has to fully complete all of them? Maybe. I don't know what is the answer, but most of the times we go through that 8,400,000 species of life. But if we are fortunate to get the association of the devotees, to get the mercy of the devotees, so we immediately we are guaranteed a human form of life. We don't need to be taking birth as a dog or a cat or a insect. At least the human form of life is guaranteed in the next lifetime. So from that perspective, it is not necessary that everybody goes through this 8,400,000 species of life. But often that's what like happens. Like, you know, one goes through this 8,400,000 species of life, and out of that the human form has 400,000 species is human form of life. So in essence, like within humans, as we see, like, you know, there are so many different levels of consciousness and so many different types of bodily forms to aid that particular level of consciousness. So for us, if we are intelligent, we don't want to even think about what kind of, like, you know, like, we don't need to think about all this 8,400,000 species of life. Let this be my last, like, you know, like, form. Let me try my best to, like, you know, practice devotional service so that I don't even need to, like, you know, worry about what kind of bodily form I am going to get in the next, like, you know, lifetime. At least based on the scriptures, we know that we will at least get the, like, human form of life. Is it okay, Prabhu? I don't know whether I directly answered your question. But yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your class, Namaruchi Prabhu. You made a lot of wonderful points. I wish I commissioned them all, but I can't. So maybe after class, we could. You're probably busy, but one point you were mentioning is we're not supposed to offer non-fragrant flowers to the deities, or even worse, bad-smelling flowers. So one recommendation for pujaris and for all devotees that I recently came across in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a nice pastime, you may have heard of it. I was just reading this yesterday because I was thinking about the pastime. It's from Madhya Lila, chapter 1, and there's a series of verses, maybe 4 or 5, and then Prabhupada elaborates, and it's verse around 157, Madhya Lila, chapter 1, verse 157. It's a really nice pastime. You should check it out for all pujaris. Put it in the, so basically, the pastime is where one devotee named Nrsimha Nanda, he heard that Lord Chaitanya was going from one city to Vrindavan. So he wanted to build a road, a very beautiful road for Lord Chaitanya, but he was broke. He was a poor devotee. So he only built it in his mind, a road with bed decked with jewels, beautiful flowers, real flowers in his mind. And it's not that long of a pastime, but basically Lord Chaitanya was supposed to go to Vrindavan. So only in his mind, he couldn't build the city all the way to Vrindavan. He only built it at a certain spot. So he was like, how come I can't build the city all the way in my mind to Vrindavan? What's wrong? So then he understood that Lord Chaitanya wasn't actually going to Vrindavan. And that's how much he was connected to the Lord. So it's a very beautiful pastime. But basically, if we're, you know, to see the essence, like you were mentioning, the essence. So my question is related to some of these pastimes. You know, the pastime of Hanuman and the spider. Hanuman had the results, but the, you know, the spider had the credentials. And there's other one other pastime. Maybe you could elaborate on some of these pastimes. There's another similar pastime in, it's like the fourth chapter to the last one in Krishna, but I think it's chapter 87, where there was a poor brahmana and a rich king in the same city. The poor brahmana name was Shrutadev, and the rich king was named was Bahulashva. And they both invited Lord Krishna and his entourage to their house for dinner at the same time. So naturally, if a rich king or a poor person is going to invite us, we're going to go to the rich king. We're not going to sleep on a dirt floor. But Lord Krishna's love was so unconditional that he expanded himself and the sages and went to both parties. So my question is, a lot of times, you know, we don't really value anything or devotees unless we see some type of results. You know, like Hanuman was very proud of his results. And the spider, so that can lead to lives of offenses. So what are some steps one can do before Krishna humbles us to appreciate the essence and the glories of all devotees, regardless of the external results? So thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Like, often I heard from different devotees that it is, if any of us are, like, in a really sane, it is very, 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 very easy to be humble. Becoming humble is not at all difficult. The reason why it is difficult for us to become humble is that we are, like, insane to different degrees. somebody might be like, you know, really insane, others might be like, you know, slightly insane or sometimes insane and so on and so forth. It is so easy to be like humble. So when we like offer anything to the Lord, does like anything belong to us? No, nothing belongs to us, right? When we read Sri Ishopanishad, we see that everything is like, you know, it is emanating from the Lord, and everything is the property of the Lord. The Lord is the proprietor, and we are just like, you know, using different things in the service of the Lord. So actually, like, you know, there was one like pastime, like of Srila Prabhupada, one one person who, like, you know, he owned a like glass factory, like, you know, he was making like glass bottles or like glass ornaments and things like that. He owned a glass factory. He visited Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, like, you know, like, was having discussion with this person, and he was talking about how the Lord is the proprietor of everything. So he asked this person, so like, what are you doing? Then he said, I am the proprietor of this particular glass factory. Then he said, how, Prabhupada asked, how do you make glass? Then the person said, like, you know, we take sand and we take, like, you know, soda and lime and that and this and whatnot, put all of them together and heat it to 1500 degrees centigrade or something like that and melt it, and like, you know, you mold the glass in a particular form. Then Prabhupada said, okay, where does the sand and limestone, all this come from? Then the person said, from nature. And Prabhupada said, where is, like, you know, nature coming from? Then he said, like, you know, from Krishna. Then he said, aha, therefore you are a thief. You are claiming that you are the owner of this particular glass factory, but the sand and all these ingredients which you are using for making the glass is not yours. Then the person, like, you know, was taken back, and then he said, but Prabhupada, I donate some money to temple. Then he said, then Srila Prabhupada said, then it's okay. You are not a big thief. You are a small thief. But you are a thief because you are not fully acknowledging that everything is actually the property of the Lord. We can just say that, you know, my dear Lord, take little bit for you. Rest of them are like mine. Often, like, you know, that is the, like, you know, mentality like we have. Like, you know, like another like funny story in this regard is that there was a, like, you know, thief who was really, anyways, it is not from scriptures, or maybe it is. So there was a thief who was really crooked, had a crooked mentality. He was trying to steal and steal and steal, and he was not very successful. So he went and like, you know, prayed in the temple of the Lord, and then he said, my dear Lord, let me be successful. I will give you 50% of whatever I am going to be getting. Looking at this person, the Lord said, okay, like, you know, you will be, like, you know, successful. So at least he is going to be getting, giving, like, you know, 50% back to me, so that this person is going to be getting the benefit. The Lord said, okay, that is fine. So now he went and stole something, and then he came to the temple, and then, like, you know, like all these gold coins he stole, he divided that into, like, you know, like, he said, okay, my dear Lord, I'm going to be keeping one coin for me, and I'm going to giving you, like, you know, one coin. Then he thought, if I'm going to be putting all this gold coin in the undi, then the Lord is going to be, like, you know, it will be used in Lord's service, but I want all the coins to be used in my service, so let me try to devise a plan. Then he came up with a plan. He said, my dear Lord, I am going to be keeping one coin for me, and then another coin I am going to be throwing it, like, you know, tossing it upwards. And if you want to use the coin, you just catch. If it falls down, I understand that you don't want the coin, I will keep it. So he was keeping one, tossing one, keeping one, tossing one, everything was falling. And then he said, my dear Lord, thank you so much. Looks like you don't want anything. So I am going to be eating, like all the coins, like for myself. Often that is the like mentality like we have, which is like very, very like dangerous. Like, you know, the mentality to deceive. That is like, you know, so deep rooted within our heart, it is very, very difficult to get rid of. But by following, properly following the instructions of the Lord and his devotees, by chanting and by associating with devotees, by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and so on and so forth, all these anarthas are going to be slowly taken away. When we say, like, you know, slowly, it is not like, you know, really slowly. It is taken away, like, you know, so fast. But because we had accumulated all this dirt from time immemorial, we have so much of dirt. We have so much of dirt. That's why, like, you know, often it looks as if, I don't know, like, I've been chanting so long and still I don't have the taste, I did not become a pure devotee, or like often, like, you know, devotees, they think like that. But what we don't understand is that we committed so many different heinous crimes in the past. We might have killed brahmanas, we might have killed like innocent people, or committed so many different things which are so bad. We are to suffer a lot for all this, but the Lord being so merciful, he is just only like, you know, giving us some kind of like token reaction. So when we understand all this and compassion of the Lord and how everything is, it doesn't even belong to us, but we are taking credit. It is very, very easy for us to become sane. But if we decide to remain insane, like, you know, like nobody can help us. The Lord is providing us with so many different like opportunities for us to become sane. And if we carefully meditate on how nothing belongs to us, we are only, and then, like, you know, like we might say that, oh, like, you know, I go and work, I put in like hard labor, and because of that I am getting my salary. It is my salary. It is because of my own work. Who gave us the intelligent? Who gave us this material body which I am using to do the work? So in essence, everything belongs to Krishna. So we cannot take like any credit. But often, like, you know, like having this kind of discussion also, like, you know, we can take things in the like other way. Oh, if like, you know, everything is Lord's, like, you know, my problem is his problem, let him take care of like all the problems. So we need to be very, very careful about our consciousness. So that is why, like, you know, when Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, like, you know, it is called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He did not say International Society for Krishna Activities and all those, because activities are important, but much more than activities is the consciousness with which we are going to be doing those activities. Two people might be doing the same activities, but they might get totally different results. One person might be having, like, you know, very pure consciousness. The Lord is pleased by that. When the Lord says, like, you know, like, offer me fruit or flower or water. So, like, you know, Lake Michigan water, it is not, like, you know, so, it doesn't taste so good. Like, you know, like we can drink so much, of, like, you know, when we go to, like, you know, some places, other places, the water is very, very sweet. And Lake Michigan water is not that sweet. So we might be thinking, wow, like, you know, I'm so nicely, like, offering water, flower, and that, and this, and whatnot. He doesn't need any of those. So rather, like, whatever we are offering is kind of, like, you know, insult. If he can drink, like, you know, water, which is nectar, and we are offering, like, you know, Lake Michigan water, and we might not even like, you know, filtered it properly or that or this, whatever it is, still he accepts it. Does he need the water? No. What he is looking for? He is looking for our love. He is looking for that particular consciousness. If our consciousness is that, like, you know, everything belongs to the Lord, for my own purification, I am offering this to the Lord, because the Lord wants me to go back home, like, you know, back to Godhead, and only way I can do that is by purifying myself. And for my own purification, let me, like, offer this to the Lord, so that I can develop the loving relationship with Him. When we have that kind of, like, mentality, a consciousness, then the Lord is very easily pleased. We might, like, offer 64 different items or 6,400 items of very wonderful boha, or somebody just offering a little, like, you know, a glass of water with a lot of love, the other person offering all these things with so much pride. Oh, like, you know, see this little person who is just offering, like, you know, a little bit of water, but I am offering so wonderful preparation. If somebody is going to have that kind of consciousness, then the Lord is not pleased. But the person who offered with love little bit of water, the Lord is much more pleased. So that's why, like, you know, the consciousness is the thing which is very, very important. But it doesn't mean that, like, all of us now go to, like, you know, like, our rooms and sit there and say that, oh, like, you know, consciousness is the thing which is important, I'm not going to be doing any service. It is not the point, because the activities or services which we are doing are the ones which are going to assist us in purifying the consciousness. As the consciousness is purified, then we will render nice services. As we render nice services, the consciousness is going to be purified. It is going to be like a, like, you know, like, endless loop, which is going to be like assisting. One is going to assist other. So in essence, it is very, very easy to be like humble and not commit offenses to devotees when we understand that nothing belongs to us, and the Lord is so compassionate, and He is enabling us, and He is giving us the greatest gift of, like, you know, getting out of this horrible place of, like, you know, this cycle of birth and death, and serve Him, and always, like, you know, remain eternally with full of bliss and knowledge. When we understand this, everything is going to become like very minuscule. So we might say that, you know, oh, like, you know, like, I am talking and this devotee is turning his head in this way, maybe he doesn't like what I am saying, or like that, you know, like, often mind plays all these tricks. Oh, like, you know, this devotee entered the room, he did not offer obeisances, maybe because I stole his chapati yesterday, he is still angry at me, or like, you know, like, often we think, we interpret lot of things, though there might not be any problem. Most of the times the problem is within our mind. We try to, like, you know, interpolate and extrapolate and create problem which even doesn't exist. The easiest policy is that, like, you know, we go to, if we think that a particular devotee is acting in a way which is going to be like offensive to us, we can go and, like, you know, openly ask, my dear Prabhu, my dear Mataji, this is what I observed, this is how I am feeling. So most of the times, like, you know, we don't want to do that. Like, you know, internally we might be harboring some ill feeling, and externally we will say, like, oh, Prabhu, you are the greatest devotee, and internally, like, I don't even know, how come this person become a devotee? So these are not going to be, like, you know, good for us. If we have, like, any conflict, anything like that, we can just go and openly, like, you know, like, talk to the devotees. When we cultivate this kind of simplicity, we will never have any problem with, like, anybody. But of course, that doesn't mean that there will not be, like, any problem in the material world, because it is material world. There is supposed to be problems. There is supposed to be suffering. We cannot go to a prison and then say that, like, you know, I don't want to suffer. It is a prison house. We will suffer, irrespective of whether we like it or we don't like it. But if our consciousness is proper, we will take it in the right manner. Instead of thinking, my dear Lord, like, you know, why I am suffering? I have been practicing devotional service for the last 18 years or whatever it is. And this is the reward you are giving me by putting me through this. A ungrateful person will think like that. But if we are grateful, we will think, my dear Lord, you are so wonderful. I am supposed to suffer so much, but because of, like, you know, your compassion, because of your mercy, you gave me a token reaction, which is, like, you know, so small compared to whatever suffering I had to go through. So that's why, like, you know, the cultivating the quality of gratitude and all those are going to be protecting us. We will see things in a proper, like, perspective. So we will stop here. It is already like 8:50. So we will discuss, like, you know, like, separately. I don't want devotees to get mad at me. Already we are, it is 8:50. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yes.